Just from the standpoint of review, you know, we've been talking about love, that we were created to be loved by God, and that's an awesome thought, and to love God back, and that he poured out his lavish love on us. That scriptures, behold what manner of love that the Father has poured out on us, that he would call us the children of God. And even when we make bad choices, that doesn't disqualify us from God's love. Isn't that good to hear? That's why I was talking about when he forgave us and touched us, and all of our past is in the past, and I praise God for that. And then it's difficult and impossible, really, for us to give the love of God without first experiencing his love. Only when we really experience his love can we really be loving agape love, because God is love. Can I get a witness? And if you don't have love, you really don't have God, the scripture says. The Father's love is patient and kind for us. He doesn't remember the wrong. He doesn't hold it over our head. He's not rude. And we're walking and learning to walk in that love. And last week we learned about husbands, love your wives. You all enjoy that message? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And then some of the singles says, well, Pastor, you're talking about couples, but it wasn't about couples or about marriage, because Paul said to the church at Corinth, Ephesians actually, he said to them, he says, listen, this is not about marriage. This is about Christ's love for the church, because the church actually, you know, will be the bride of Christ, those that lay aside all the stuff. And now he said he wanted to be a holy bride, not just a unloyal bride going everywhere doing everything with anybody, but you're set aside holy unto God, from the world unto God, for his purpose and his plan. There'll be a 1,000-year honeymoon. How many of you know that that's going to be an amazing time? Somebody give God praise as we prepare for this last scripture. You can put it on the screen. James 1:12 says this: God blesses those who patiently endure what? Testing and temptation. It says, afterwards they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Guess what? We are those who loved him. I want to encourage you that God blesses us because we patiently endure testing and temptation. There's a crown waiting as we pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Speak to us today as we yield ourselves to your will and plan and purpose. Someone came with a need. May that need be met. Someone came just like the woman, tugging on the very hem of your garment. May that need be met in the name of Jesus. There's someone even like the woman at the well that's searching. Father, may she find the very thing, God, that she's longing for. And Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. We say amen. If God has been really, really good to you this week, why don't you give him your best praise right now? I said give him your best praise. He's God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. When I think of this passage and I think about the very fact that God is saying, I'm blessing those who patiently endure testing and temptation, because after they pass this test, you know, you're going to get a crown of life and that God has promised to those who love him. He's talking about us, and I want to walk in that very thing. I want to walk in the very plan and purpose of God. And I must say, and part of my testimony is because I struggled with, you know, I won't say religion, but I struggle with the whole idea of yielding to God. You know, just as a child, you know, you say, you know, you need to get saved, you need to stop doing all this wrong and stop this, stop that. And it didn't really register to me when they were saying, you have to stop this, stop, because, you know, I knew it was bad and I shouldn't be doing it, but it had no lasting hold. It past Sunday, if I could get through Sunday without cursing, I'd be doing well. If I could get through Sunday without telling a lie, if I could get through Sunday without, I'm gonna stop right there. Because some folks, they say, well, I can't believe you couldn't know. I couldn't do it in my own flesh. And I couldn't do it in my own power. Are you with me? Therefore, I needed some help. I needed some help. And to just say, stop doing this, that didn't do it. It wasn't until I found out that there was someone that loved me. And when I think about the fact that God demonstrated his love to me, his unconditional love to me, that while I was a sinner, in fact, that's a good place to start. My first point, they're going to put it on the screen. I love this passage. Because it talks about the very fact that, you know, God demonstrates his unconditional love. And they can put it up there. And there we go. Thank you. God demonstrates his unconditional love to all of us in so many wonderful ways. And I would even go on to say, not only so many wonderful ways of action. He shows us how he loves us by action. Are you with me today? And when God began to show me how much he loved me, man, my whole life began to change. Because it's one thing to say you don't want to burn, so therefore you act right. But it's another thing to say that someone loves you so much that they don't want you to burn. Are you with me today? So therefore, it wasn't until I found out, one, you know, how many ways he loved me. He loved me by sending his son, Jesus. So that's one. Thank God for his son. His blessings, when I think about all that he's done for me, you know, my soul cries out, not just with my mouth, but from my heart. You know, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. He wakes us in the morning, and even in cold days, he has a shelter for us. So thank you, God, for that. So his blessings are abundant. Also, his promises about us are abundant. I thank God for his son, his blessings, his promises. And then when he left, he didn't leave us comfortless, but he gave us his spirit, the Holy Spirit he placed on the inside of us. And what a wonderful thing for God to put himself on the inside of us. And then we needed mercy. I don't know about you, but, you know, I needed mercies every day. So his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And these are just some of the blessings. And then he said, I'm not going to stop there, but then eternal life. Someone wrote a song and said, count your blessings. Name them one by one and see what the Lord has done. You can't count them. I don't care what you do. You can't count all that he's done for us. But when I think about all these things, beyond, you know, me saying that I'm going to do right, I'm going to make up in my heart to not curse, not do bad things, you know, beyond all of that, it's only when Christ paid the price, showed me how much he loved me, and I read the scripture that it just came to life because I needed someone just in the right time. This is Romans 5 and 6. It says, you see, you know, it was just when, and that, you know, how many know God touched you at the right time? He came to you right when you needed him. When we were still powerless, I couldn't do it myself. For all y'all religious people say, well, I live saved by myself. That wasn't my story. I was still powerless. Christ died for the ungodly. I was not deserving, was not ready to receive what God had for me, and I was struggling. Look at the next verse, 7th verse. It says here, rarely, very rarely for anyone that anyone would die for a righteous person. If I were a good person, rarely would someone give their life even for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Next verse, and this is one of my favorite verses. It says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this way. What way? While we were still sinners, not when we got it together, not when we were rolling and looking good and all dressed up, but while we were still sinners, missing the mark, Christ died for us. Now that causes me to say, wow, if someone loved me that much, I want to love them back. It was only when I got that revelation that made me say that, God, I want to surrender to you. I want to surrender my life to you. I don't want to do my own thing any longer. I want to surrender myself to you because you've been so good to me. And then you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. You're loyal to me too. I want to talk about love and loyalty today. Somebody give God a praise in this house. And when I think about love and loyalty, I think about this day and time, and, you know, in this day and time, a lot of times there's a lot of talk about love, but there's not a lot of loyalty. Can't I get a witness in this place? You know, I look at some of the ones on TV, and, you know, I know that they talk about love, and they talk about, you know, this is the person they want to be with, but man, It's a whole different day and time out there now, because even though, I looked this up, Google, there was some 20 or 250 million roses purchased last week. You know, it's Valentine's week. That's a whole bunch of roses. Can't you get a witness? 2 million flowers, $2 million spent on flowers, 1.8 billion on candy. That's a lot of chocolate. Y'all don't eat all that chocolate. So the people, without a doubt, are seeking something lasting, and flowers and candy and cheap jewelry won't do it. It won't buy love. And they say, well, if I was rich, I was famous. If that were the case, then Jeff Bezos, he and his wife, Mackenzie, would still be together. And to be truthful, my heart goes out to him because, you know, you're the richest man in the world. What do you need? You know, you don't have to shop from Amazon. You are Amazon. You know, I'm saying like 100, 200 million or billion. I don't know how many is, a bunch of them. The thing is that you still aren't loyal. Oh, I got to move on. And that's my boy. I love him. I've been following him through the years just to watch, see what God is doing. You know, it's amazing. Or for some of you all, I don't know about Jeff, but I do know about Khloe Kardashian. Her and Kristen, and I didn't know about her too much until I watched, turned on the game, and when Tristan came out, they start, you know, kind of heckling him and saying that he cheated, and I don't know the whole deal. I don't know if he cheated or not, but my thing is this, is if you live in a day and time where you do what you want, and there is no, you know, right or wrong, there is no standard for living, then how can you say cheating is wrong if there is no reference for cheating? He's just doing what he does. Oh, I'm going to have to move on this. If cheating is not against the law because there is no law, then cheating is not cheating because there is no law. I tell people out there, I say, well, just do what you want to do. Well, we just encourage you to do it. Then how can you get mad at somebody for cheating? The Bible is the law. The Bible is the standard. God laid it out and said, this is how it goes. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. That's going to be on another message, but it wasn't ready to preach that one. Hallelujah. Just yet. I was preaching that one time, man, and right in the middle of the message, a lady got up who, man, her evidently had some challenges at home. And she was like saying, yeah, I know what it says, but that ain't what they're doing. I was like saying, okay, we're going to move on. Hallelujah. So back to the whole thing is that, you know, and I wrote it down because it made a whole lot of sense to me. It says, how can anyone cheat if there are no rules? There's no double dribble. In basketball, if there's no rules in place, only when there are rules. Therefore, God has established his rules. He said, you know, thou shalt have no other God before me. Y'all with me today? Shall remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not, you know, commit adultery. Oh, there's some rules in place. Only when you do it God's way are you with me. And to be truthful, God wants us to do it his way. Because that's how he demonstrates his love towards, not to hold us in bondage, but that he might show us that this is the better way. His way is better than our way. Hallelujah. When I think of all that God has put in place and recognize that our culture is filled with so much disloyalty and, you know, even I was listening to a song the other day. I didn't listen to the whole thing, so don't y'all get mad. But I listened to part of it. It was Chris Brown and Lil Wayne. And they said, these homemongers ain't loyal. Man, I said, even Chris Brown and Lil Wayne, he said a little bit different than that, but I don't want to cuss in church. Even they know. I'm just being, some of y'all say, yeah, Pastor, you being too straightforward today. I'm letting you know, folks, that even the world recognizes that a lot of folks aren't loyal. Ooh, hallelujah. We better move on fast. That's one reason I love God so much because he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And see, I had a heartbreak in life. I had a couple of them, two that I can remember. One, I was in first grade. And she broke my heart, I'm telling you. Went, you know, and began to date an older first grader. And man, I would never forget it. I'm just saying that. And the other one, when I was in the eighth grade, it took me a while to get over the first one. Then the next one, I was in eighth grade. And I remember that one so clearly because, you know, I got a call on the phone. I'm thinking just she calling to talk to me, whatever. And then she said, you know, it's over. I want somebody, you know, you talk to. And gives the phone to the dude she's going to be talking to. You talk about heart. I was like, have any of you all ever had that kind of heartbreak? Or am I by myself? Somebody said, I ain't telling you, Pastor. I just. But I remember that time, and I was like saying, man, if this is what love is about, man, I messed up. So by the time I got to somebody that was really going to love me right, I was damaged goods. Already abused, already hurt, already came with attitude. Nobody will ever hurt me again. And how can you have that attitude in the eighth grade? Nobody will ever hurt me again. They got me the last two times, first grade, eighth grade, no more. So I remember when I finally met someone that I wanted to spend my life with, someone that really was loving and true, and I had all these issues, like, you know, I know what y'all do. I'm experienced now. It's like, what's wrong with you? I don't trust folks. And I can go through the scenario to build it, and then I remember, you know, us building that relationship, and then I found out that she loved God, and folks, loving God makes a difference in the relationship. Yeah. I'm gonna go there just for 1 minute because when we were at church and the other kids, it was time for us to go outside and do whatever we do, and you know, and talk while church is going on, while offering time, especially we'd be like, what's your favorite color? I don't know. What's your favorite? All kind of stuff. She was like, no, I don't want to go out. Let's stay. Keep the guys getting ready to preach. So let's. And she had one of them big Bibles with the reference notes and all that stuff. And we sit there. And I remember it was at a convention, and we're in the back seat on that side, and we're back there, and I'm thinking, like, I might get a chance to talk a little bit. And she was, like, in the Word, underlining her stuff. And then the Spirit got to moving. She got to raising her hands up. I said, man, she for real. Have you ever wanted to be around someone or be in a relationship with someone that's for real and not just playing, going through the motions? And then after we started talking, you know, because I wanted someone that loves God more than they love me. And then finally, you know, I'm just saying, I wasn't all, and even in the church, I was still growing and wasn't where I needed to be. I was in the church. And I'm trying to see, well, where can this go? And when you try to push up on somebody, y'all know what I'm talking about. And they say, nope, I ain't going. I ain't doing this. I get married. And to God be glorified because I love him more than I love you. Something kind of said, wow, boy, you know, there's something about someone that loves God more. Even though my flesh was like saying, you know, you just messed up. But then the Spirit was saying, this is where you want to be. Because if they love God more than you, they'll be faithful to God even when you're not there. You won't ever have to worry about them because they're not living for you. They're living for him. I want you to know if you want to find someone that's going to be faithful, find someone that loves God. How much? And boy, if they don't love God at all, boy, you're going, man, I'm just telling you right now. Man, y'all say, move on, preacher. Hallelujah. As I think of all the situations in life and the things that we're learning, and when you think about loyalty and you think about God and how he's been loyal to us, it makes me want to be loyal to him as well, because he demonstrated his love toward me, that while I was a sinner, He died for me, and I want to give him everything back. I know I can never give him anything that he hasn't given me, but I want to live for him. I want to say, God, I'm all in. It's not just surface. No, God, I want to give you my everything. Are you with me? So since he's given us so much, then let me ask this question, and it's simply this. How will we respond to his love? You know, that's our question. We know that he's loved us with no greater love, because no greater love than a man that he laid down his life. How are we going to respond to that? You know, that's the question. You know, maybe I should ask all of us, how are we going to respond to that kind of love? I know that the scripture lets us know that he says that, this is Jesus talking, and he was answering someone's question, what's the greatest commandment? Then he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your might, and then you should love your neighbor as yourself. So he says, you know, love your neighbor with all that you have, and that's in Luke 10 and 27. And he says you need to love with all. How do you respond? You respond by loving all the way, fully loving and surrendering. And that's what brought me to the love of Christ, that I love him with everything I have. And that's in the book of Luke 10 and 27. And I just want you to know that's what God's calling us to do. But to pull this passage outside of the context of knowing who God is doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. For someone to say, well, I want to give you these lists of rules and regulations. You love the Lord with all your heart, love the Lord with all your mind, all your strength. You're like, okay, it doesn't make sense. But when you think about that he was the one that woke you up, when you think about he's the one that started you on your way, when you begin to think about that when you were ostracized and criticized, he was there for you, when you think about that he paid the ultimate price for you, then you begin to say, Father, thank you for all that you've done. Now I want to willingly and all my heart love you with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul. God, I belong to you. Why? Because you showed your love for us. How do we love him, or why do we love him? We love him because he first loved us. You showed me your love. God, I want to reciprocate that love. Are you with me today? How many of you know that he's worth reciprocating love to? Come on, bless him real big. Bless him real big. We love you, God. Woo! Hallelujah. When I think about how he gave his love to us, it makes me want to just give him back. Let me just share with you that even the differences. I didn't get a chance to go over this morning, but I just want to just run it by you just quickly. When we talk about love, there's several different types, and I know some say there's several, it's that a lot of them are in the Bible, and some of them that they say are in the Bible aren't in the Bible, but one that we have been focusing on is, we know phileo, which is kind of like the brotherly love, and we can embrace that and understand that, and that's a good thing, that we need to have that brotherly love. That's one of the types of love that even Joyce was talking about today, that there needs to be that kind of love in the house of God. There's also a kind of love that's called eros, and that's one of the ones that we talk about during this time of year. It's not unconditional love. Actually, it's a sensuous love, and to be truthful, I looked it up. So the love that talks about desire and passion and even lustful in some cases. Are you still with me today? They said, well, who was Eros? I'm glad you asked. Eros was the goddess in the Greek mythology, the son of Aphrodite, where we get the word aphrodisiac. You know, so it was a myth, mythology, and they put it together and they connected. Eros ended up turning into Cupid, evolved into Cupid. Some of you all know what I'm talking about. And then you know, where we get that song, Cupid, draw back your bow, and let your arrow flow into. I just wanted to know if I was there. How many of you know that's the little bald-headed, fat, chubby baby that had the arrow and blindfolders on his eyes because it said that love was blind? You know, I want you to know that in the midst of all of this, really it has little to do with the God kind of love. Whew. Let me read you the God kind of love, because all that other stuff, it comes and goes, man. You know, just like the boy said, I forget his name, but he said, sunny days, they will come and they will go. But can you stand the rain? Because some of that stuff is coming. Can I get a witness in this place? Look what agape. Look what God. Y'all said, Pastor, I didn't know you knew all these songs. Hallelujah. How am I going to talk to real people? I can't talk to just all church people. All you do is, all you know is scriptures. I need to meet somebody that you already saved. Somebody's not saved, and we got to reach those that aren't saved. And you can't go to them all the time. You got to find out where they are so you can bring them where they need to be. Somebody say amen in this house. Woo, hallelujah. Now, where was I? Agape, thank you so much. Here's what agape means. That's the kind of love I needed. And that's the kind of love God provided. Agape is unconditional love that transcends and persists regardless of the circumstance. Agape love is unselfish. It's the highest form of love. It's the God kind of love. Now, how many of you know that's the kind of love we need? Not just no quick, I'm here today, gone tomorrow. No, we need that kind of love that lasts in the good times, in the bad times, in the storms, in the rain. That's the kind of love that God wants to give us. And some of us never knew a love like this. Heard some folks talking a whole bunch of stuff. But man, never knew a love like this. Well, here's my next point, because it causes me to recognize that a lot of us are confronted and faced with a number of things. So let me pose this to us, because, you know, worldly things will compete for our heart's affections, because God says that he wants to love us and he has poured out his love on us. But oftentimes when you love one person, that person turns and loves something else. Help me today, Holy Spirit. So he gives us the world and puts us in this world and provides everything that we need. And sometimes instead of loving him because he's the creator, we begin to love the creation more than we love the creator. Worldly things will come and compete for our affections. And I have to be careful, because the things of this earth can compete for my affection. How do you know if it's a problem? You know, I may just tell you, the 11 o'clock service, if I talk about it and you get so quiet, worldly things will compete for our heart's affection. Cars, houses, great accomplishments. You know, to be known and seen in the very eyes of people, to be receive great accolades, and you love that stuff sometimes more than you love God. God begins to say, listen. Don't let that take my place. I blessed you with it. And we love the creation more than we love the creator. Even when I think about some of the history that I read, when God blessed the sun to shine and the crop to grow, some of the ancient farmers would bow down and worship the ground and worship the sun, as opposed to worship the God that made the sun and the ground. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The worldly things compete for our affections, and they can be many things. And I like this passage where we don't read it very much, but in the book of 1 John, it says this: do not love the world and the things of the world. And if anyone loves the world, help me out. Now, how many of you all know this? That God's word is true. Do not love the world. And so it's all right to enjoy the world, but don't love the world, nor the world systems, the things that are in the world. He says, if any of you all got that in your heart, then the love of the Father is not in him. I want to ask the question, in the church, in God's church, in God's bride, are we loving other things, and are we putting other things before him? If we think about other stuff and get more excited about other stuff than we do him, we need to check our relationship. Am I doing okay today? I have to check myself on a regular basis. But, you know, Jerry Wimmer goes, everything in this world is passing. Look at this next verse. It says, for all that is in the world is what? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the pride of life. And he said, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So what does the word lust mean? I'm glad you ask again. Lust means insatiable desires. It means desires of passion that I have, desire that I have, but it will never be satisfied. Think about in your life the things that you lusted after, and when you got it, it may have been satisfactory for a moment, but man, it had no lasting satisfaction. Can I get a witness in this house? So first he says that the lust of the flesh, my flesh wants it, and then he says it's the lust of the eyes, I see it, and then I'll kind of feel a certain way after I have this. Can I let you know that this stuff in the next verse says, it says, and the world is passing away and all the lust of it. In a few years, who cares? Who had what? Who cares what outfit you had on? Or whether you had True Religion jeans or Goodwill specials? In the scope of eternity, what difference does it make? Whether you live on the lake or whether you live in the shelter, but God was with you. When we pass on to be with him, God, that stuff is not going to matter. Somebody give God a real good praise in this house. But it says, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So what I want to do is God's will. Nothing wrong with us being blessed. We want to be blessed. Why? So we can be a blessing. But I don't want to get caught up in looking for satisfactions and things that won't satisfy. Can I let you know that some relationships that you're in right now won't satisfy? Some relationships won't bring you lasting joy. In fact, you set you up for a heartbreak, and they told you that they love you, but what they really did was lusted for you. And it causes me to go to this passage because I'm talking about love and loyalty. And it's something that needs to be shared. It blessed me so much to hear last week when they had the video to see these old timers. I say old timers, be careful with that term. Older Christians, Douglas and Pam specifically, you know, because I watch their life and I see how they love each other and interact with each other. And he was saying, he said, love is twofold to me. First, I love my love for God. And then he says, my love for my beautiful wife that I've been married to for almost 50 whatever years. I was thinking, he says, that's my ministry. I was looking at him, I said, man, that is so cute. Y'all old folks still loving each other like that. That is such a blessing. Why? Because we need to see that. It's one thing to hear about it, but when you see something like that, it makes you say, okay, God, now I see how you must have loved the church. Are you with me today? Glory to your name. Y'all can give it. But when I think about that, I also think about how God wants us to embrace him in such a way that we say like the psalmist, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We say like the psalmist when he said, your loving kindness is better than life. You know, in this day and time, it's not about just being a member of the church, about showing up and saying, yeah, I was there and I did all this stuff. No, are you in love with Christ? Yes. Is he the love of your life? Yes. Thank you, God. It makes the difference. I want to call your attention to one other passage, and because it kind of wraps some of this up. Still with me? Amen. It's my next point, actually. And it's simply this, that, man, I said I was going to go to that one. But let me go to this scripture first. It's in the book of Colossians. Colossians 3:1. I think they have it. 1 and 2. Whichever. That's good. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your what? On things what? So all us believers in the house, we got to set our hearts and affections on what? Things that are where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And sometimes, how many of you all know we need to be reminded that this place is not my home? I'm setting my affections and my heart on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then it says, set your minds, the next verse, set your minds on things above, not on what? How many of you all, if you wasn't locked on into so many earthly things, you wouldn't be worried about a whole lot? Worried about stuff that's only temporal value. Well, this one left me. So what? Go. God's got something better. They got the promotion and I didn't get the promotion. Let them have it. What God has for you is for you. Thank you, Jesus. They don't like me. So they didn't like Jesus. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the earthly things. Man, some of us would get, we'd do so much better in life if we just locked into the scripture. He says, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ, in God. And that next verse, it says, when Christ who is appears, who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, he's talking about, he's taking you to a higher place. That's why I don't want to just live for down here. You may think, people may think great things of you on the earth, but what does God think about you? Thank you, God. Last verse. It says, put to death. Help me out. Put to death, therefore, whatever. What? Let's say it one more time. What? Sexual immorality. Getting busy when you're not married. And if you're married, getting busy to somebody else that's married or not married. I just wanted to make it clear. Impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. I'm not stuck. We got a lot of selfish and greedy people, which is idolatry. In other words, you're putting this before God. We think idols are only stones and big pieces of wood. No, he said, this is idolatry. Thank you, God. Thank you for your holy quietness as well. So put it to death. This is talking to the church. He's talking to the church. So therefore, it was going on there. And he says, I want you to love me. But he says, you got to put to death these things because you've been resurrected in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Therefore, walk in the new. Are you with me today? The best picture of this I found in the book of Genesis, the 39th chapter, and starting about the 6th verse. And when I look at this passage, it made me think about how important it is for us to have someone that is loyal and that loves out of the heart and not just going through the motions. You all are still with me, right? Hallelujah. Help me today. So, first of all, if I could give the backdrop of Genesis, and this is Genesis 39. It's a story of a guy named Joseph. And I like Joseph. One is because he was a dreamer. And people like to be around dreamers. And I know I do, because I'm a dreamer. And he saw himself in a certain light, and even though you see yourself in a certain light, sometimes it takes a time for when you dream the dream and when you walk in that light. Can I get a witness? And he was chosen. He was his father's. He was special to his father. And his father said, you know, Joseph, I got something for you, man. So Joseph got the coat of many colors. He used to walk around. He knew he was special. And it's good to know you special. It's good to know you special, isn't it? Because I'm special too. Some of y'all know y'all special. People look at you and they want to bless you because you're special. You got a different walk about yourself. Why? Because you know you're special. The father looked at him and he said, that's my boy. But how many of you know that sometimes when you're special, you know, other people that see that you've been blessed with special gifts, they want to hate on you. I mean, they'll come out the woodwork and hate. And then they'll gather together brothers that really didn't like each other that much. gather together to say, let's get him. They come to him and begin to talk to him. And I know, I like, he says, well, guess what, folks? I had a dream. What's your dream? I'm glad you asked. I saw some bales of hay, and they were in the field. And then my bale was there. And you all of them bowed down. You all bowed down to me. Boy, they began to hate him the more. Then he told his parents, he says, hey, y'all was bowing down too. Can you imagine? Can I let you know, that's why I know that some of the people in this house right now, you may not understand the call that's on your life, but just because other people don't understand it, it doesn't mean that it's not so. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Joseph goes around in his coat, and his coat gets him in trouble because he gets far enough away. They said, there comes the dreamer. They could see him far away. And when they saw him, they had a plan for him. One said, let's kill him. The other says, no, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. That's where we get some money. They sold him to the Ishmaelites and put him in a hole. And down there, the Bible says that God was still with him. I don't care who sells you out, who sets up traps for you. You can go in the hole, but somehow if God is with you, you coming back out of that. May not be that day, but you are coming back. He comes up and the Egyptians take him and they pull him up out of the pit. Take him on to Egypt. And they can bring that music down if you don't mind. I ain't ready to quit just yet. Give me 5 minutes. But they come up out of the pit, take him to Egypt. And the good thing is that God was with him. And when he gets to Egypt, God grants him favor. He does things and says, oh, something different about you. And I don't know if you know it, but on your job needs to be blessed because God is with you. The job wasn't doing that good, but when you got on the job, because of the very favor of God on your life, the job had to begin to improve. Why? Because God was with you. Boy, I feel a preach coming on today. And then they lifted up and elevated him and made him chief over things. And he was second in charge in Pharaoh's house. And this was Potiphar's, actually, Potiphar's house. Now Potiphar has made him chief. He's walking around there and he's a Hebrew. God will lift you up and put you in places that people never thought possible because of your background. They said, you'll never be, but God is with me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? This particular time, he was there and he was doing his job. Now, the scripture says that, and this, I'm not sure if they have that fifth verse in Genesis 3 and 8, if they can get it. If not, I'll quote it. Because it talks about while he's minding his own business. Sometimes people think that just if you mind your own business, you'll never have a problem. But can I let you know that's not true? The Bible lets us know that he was in Potiphar's house, minding his own business. And the Bible says that Potiphar's wife looked at him and she said, man, that Hebrew boy be strong and good looking. Said that he had he was well built and he was handsome. And she said, what's your name is, boy? I'm paraphrasing, folks. What's your name is? Joseph. She had her eye on him, watched him again. Next, it says, Joseph. Now, this is what, I'm just telling you what happens. And now, she says, come to bed with me. Now, I wanted to put that on screen because some of y'all think I'm playing, but the Bible literally said, she said, come to bed with me. And she wasn't talking about help me make the bed up. I can see it right now. Come to bed with me, big boy. Now, understand, check this out. Joseph didn't say that I don't want to come to bed with you. Joseph didn't say, follow this, he didn't say that you're not beautiful. He didn't say that you're not attractive. He didn't say that the thought didn't cross. See, some of us think we are so super spiritual that we don't have any thoughts, that we don't have anything that don't cross our mind. And we are purer than the driven snow. I don't think nothing like that. I've never had that thought.
Joseph didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, Egyptian woman, she goes that she's black, you know, Potiphar's gone, and he's gone quite a bit, and I know you probably, you know, lonely. And let me just put a point on this. Let me stop a real minute. Just because you lonely and in the house by yourself doesn't give you permission to say, well, the reason I messed up is because you was gone all the time. Squash all that. Hallelujah. Just because you didn't get what you wanted all the time doesn't get said, if you had done this then. No, squash all that. Am I okay today? Some people don't get what they want and they're going to throw a fit and have a tantrum. That is no, doesn't give you permission to do what you want to do. Now look what happens. The Bible says that she persisted day after day. Joseph walk around, his coat on, he cool. She said, come with me today. He said, nah, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. Finally, it got to the point to where she says, he going to do this. So she runs, grabs, lays hands on him. And I'm not sure if you've ever had a moment to where you say, where you said, this lady crazy. Or this man crazy. Y'all like that better. This joker crazy. And man, he said, I'm going to have to run. So he breaks out running to get away. And folks, let me let you know, if this kind of temptation comes upon you, it's okay to run. You got permission to run. Just, I mean, it's, what's wrong with you? I'm running, y'all. I'm like Forrest. Run, Forrest, run. She grabbed that pretty coat. And it's something about people that don't get what they want. That's why I tell you, y'all need some of these folk wrong. Y'all don't know. I'm telling you. I'm trying to help you. What's the three words that we got for this year? I'm just trying to tell you. She grabbed that coat. Said, if I can't have him, I'm telling my husband what he did, and I'm going to tell her a lie. So check this out. He told her that he wasn't going to do it. Why did he tell her he wasn't going to do it? He says, how can I do this to my boss who's given me everything in the house except for you? And how can I do this wickedness when it comes to the God that's been good to me? Now follow this. When I look back at Joseph's life, and I know he could relate, Joseph, I can relate to Joseph, because he says, listen, y'all don't understand that my brothers hated me, but God brought me out. My brothers tried to kill me, put me in a hole to think that was over, but God brought me up out of the hole. Are you with me today? Took me to Egypt, and God blessed me and took me from slavery and gave me a place in the very mansion. And you think I'm going to mess up on God? No, God's been too good to me, and I refuse to mess up on God. I love God, and I'm loyal to him. How many of you all know that sometimes you need to say, God, you've been too good for me. I'm not thinking about going back messing up on you. No, you've opened too many doors. You made too many ways. You took me when I was nothing, and you just did something so spectacular. Thank you, Lord. Some of y'all come to church and you say, well, you know what? I think I might praise him, but when I think of how good God's been, how many doors he's opened for me, I say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Now, some of us, and I'm about to close, but it's not even about the 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever. Or even if you all, what's the other boy's name? Lionel Richie. All night long. It ain't about that. I tried to keep a straight face. It ain't even about that, because after you're done, it's short-lived. The thing that you thought was going to satisfy you, will bring you so much guilt, so much condemnation, so much shame. Can I preach today? And some say, Pastor, well, that's not my thing. Well, let me keep on playing music. That makes me rush faster. You say, that's not my thing. Well, let me share this with you. Drugs may be your thing. It's still temptation. Ice cream could be your thing. It's still temptation. A party at school or a pity party. Sometimes you're tempted to just get in pity. I'm just, nobody treat me right. I didn't get this. I didn't get that. That's still temptation. You have to break out of that temptation. I'm not going to be here and be moaning and groaning over some foolishness. Your temptation could be a shopping cart or Amazon online. Your temptation could be gossiping. There's all type of negativity that you could buy into to just gossip and say, this is wrong, that's wrong. No wonder they sing that song, yield not to temptation. For yielding is sin. As I close, stand on your feet. I went longer than I wanted to, but I really want to preach this thing one day. Why? Because so many people are in the midst of stuff and you say, I don't have the power, I don't have the strength. No, you don't in yourself, but God is with you. If he brought Joseph up out of the pit, he'll bring you up out of it. Can I share this? There is no temptation. What did I say? That comes, I'm just going to break it down, that comes to us. It's not common to all mankind. You're not the first one that's been in the midst of it. Guess what? You're not going to be the last. That's why older women, I'm trying to close. You need to teach the younger women to be sober. I'm not talking about not drinking. Sober-minded. But in order for you to teach the younger women, you must have to admit that you are older. Everybody can't be Stella. Got my groove back. Man, I gotta quit. I'm just scratching the surface of some of this stuff.